Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 15th, 2021. We are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 30, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Christina M. reading the 12 Steps, Denise D. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Jordan L. and Lois P. The shared ID for yesterday's Thursday, 10 a.m., January 14th meeting is 16,197. Or 16197. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast time, January 15th meeting, is 16202 or 16202. Our newcomer greeter today is Suzanne W. Announcements will be given at the end of the meeting by Betsy H. And Nadia B. is recording this meeting for us. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina M. to read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Kathy, and good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina M. And I will now ask Denise D. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning. This is Denise D. from Florida. 1. Our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Denise D., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 30, paragraph 2, and I will ask Jordan L. to get us started. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Kathy. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado this morning. Grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys. And a little sad that I'm not in Los Angeles, because that's where I would normally be for OA birthday party. But it's all good. It is all good. So we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The illusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. And it's funny, right? I tend to be a people pleaser. I tend to tell people what it is that I think they want to hear. And after years of doing this and practicing this, I'm pretty good at it at this point in life. But it is it's manipulative, you know. It works against me when I'm using it for that purpose, to tell people what it is that I think they want to hear. and so I think that I think that coming in here and conceding to my innermost self that I was a compulsive overeater, I think that might have been the first time ever that it wasn't about anyone else and what I thought they wanted to hear. this was about me. I got to say, when I very first came into Overeaters Anonymous, I didn't want anything to do with it. I did not want to be a compulsive overeater. I thought this was like the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. To be a compulsive overeater, to have like a problem with eating too much food. It's so unglamorous. It's so repulsive. You know, like that was the way that I felt about myself. so when it came to my innermost self, like that just, I just wasn't able to tap into that until another 5 years of compulsive overeating and kind of like letting that sink in, right? Over the course of 5 years, I could tell every sponsor in the world that I was done and I was ready to do this and I was ready to do that. It really didn't matter. Like, this is about, it's about me and God at the end of the day. and that delusion that we're like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. that delusion that some amount of misery or pain is going to get me to a spot where I'll stop, that has to be smashed. That may be true for other people, especially those hard eaters. There may be some circumstance that comes to life that gets, or that comes along that gets them to stop or moderate. That is not the case for me. Pain and misery are not what get me abstinent. Don't get me wrong, I was desperate when I got here. But it's not that pain and misery that's going to make me stop. If it were pain and misery, I would have stopped a long time ago. It's going to have to be something else.
time.
That gets me abstinent and keeps me here with you guys. So that's all I got this morning. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Jordan L., for getting us started today. I am going to take names now of people who would like to share, but before I do that, I want to remind you that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday this week on this meeting, please sit back and let others take their turn. Would like to share this morning?
Christina
Sarah
J.
L. Linda P.
Elena.
Okay.
Elena C.
Christina, what was your first initial of your last name?
J from the state of Washington.
Okay, great. Thank you, Christina. Who else?
Carol.
Mary G.
Carol. And your last?
Kara.
Kara. And your last name?
L.
L. Kara L.
Elena C.
Elena C.
Mary G.
Mary G.
Sherry KB.
Jan C.
Sherry KB.
Jan C.
Jan C. Okay.
Janice B.
Janice B. Gotcha, Janice B. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Christina J., Kara L., Elena C., Mary G., Sherry KB, Jan C., and Janice B. Thank you all, and we'll get another lineup when we finish this one. Christina J., please get us started.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This paragraph is powerful. I listened to the first two meetings this morning, and wow, some very good meetings, some very good shares. I'm Christina J., recovered today in the state of Washington. You know, when I kept picking up, I was not fully conceding to my innermost self. The that I was a compulsive overeater. I wasn't. That self that wasn't conceding was the deepest part of me that had learned how to control most everything since I was a kid. I could figure it out. That deep-rooted tool that helped me with everything except this. This was an old pattern. I wasn't fully conscious of it. It kept me picking up over and over and over after admission that I knew I had this issue. How did I finally fully concede? How did my denial about thinking that I could control yet another bite get smashed? How did that denial that I could get back after another binge, after many relapses, how did I figure it out? Well, I didn't. I had to go through an experience, and I've shared about it, where I had to walk away from some donuts one morning. I was alone, and it was hard. It was very hard. But something in me, finally that deepest part of me awoke, and I told it, look, I can't control this. I can't take another bite. I had to fully experience that concession. And it's a painful surrender. This paragraph is actually very sad because we have to let go of the lover that doesn't work anymore, the lover that kept us happy in certain moments and really happy probably when the disease first started because I didn't have the weight gain and the suffering. But, you know, I'm very grateful that I don't have to eat those foods today because they're poison. I don't want to eat those foods anymore. They're poison. I can't stress that enough. Thinking I want to go back to being a normal eater, thinking I want to take another bite and get into that crap, that's killing me. It's destroyed so many of my body systems. Well, not completely destroyed them, but harmed them. Why do I want to go back to a normal eater? I don't want to go back to what I thought was normal, which was a bunch of junk and crap that I was taking in, making me sicker every day. It's a delusion that that's normal. That's not normal for me. I'm grateful for this disease. But so that painful surrender that day, that was really an experiential moment for me, and it was a miracle moment. And how do we do that? We surrender. We have to go, well, I don't know if you have to go through it, but I had to go through it to awaken that deepest part of me that I can't do this anymore, surrendering that deep part of control and denial, followed by action after action after action. How do you fully concede? You just keep taking the action and action. Fully conceding is not sitting around saying, yes, oh, I'm a compulsive overeater. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm a compulsive overeater. You have to take action. Action that brings you to the realization of the depth and the pain of this disease and that you don't want to go back. Action after action that brings you to a healthy body and a healthy mind. Who wouldn't want that in this crazy world we live in today? A way to handle life on life's terms. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Christina J. Kara L., please share with us. Kara L., press star 1 to unmute.
I'm sorry, I was totally talking away. I thought I was unmuted. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to my fellows that are doing service and bringing this meeting to us today. I love this paragraph. I love almost every paragraph in the big book. The delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. That's all I wanted in life, was to be like everyone else. That was my hope, my dream. You know, I never felt a part of, and I never felt enough. And so here it's telling me, like, if I want recovery, you know, I have to concede that I'm not. I'll never be. And that was really hard to swallow. That was really hard to come to terms with. And today I know that because I came to terms with that and because I found something even better, my higher power, that I have a life of food neutrality and peace and an ever-present, abundant higher power that is with me always. And in my higher power's view, I'm more than enough. and I only need the approval from my higher power. And I don't need to look normal. And I don't need to try to bend myself and contort myself and to be somebody else's idea of ideal. All I need to be is what my higher power created, and to be in constant contact with that higher power. That's all I need today. How do I do that? Well, I work these steps. I continue to enlarge my spiritual life. I work with others. I read these steps. I do step 10s as needed when I don't feel like that's enough. And then I do a step 10 and I'm reminded from my higher power that I am enough and that my higher power is more than enough for me. I have to work diligently. Every morning I wake up and I get on the meeting and I pray and I meditate and I work with others. And this is my normality today. You know, before I couldn't tell the true from the false. And my compulsive overeating lifestyle seemed to be the normal lifestyle. Today, I have a beautiful, beautiful relationship with my higher power. And that's the only thing I ever want and the best thing I could have. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L., for your share. Elena C., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Elena C. from recovered compulsive overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. And I like this paragraph because it reminds me of my first meetings. I went to my first meeting and everybody's like, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm compulsive overeater. And I'm thinking about myself, blah, 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 blah. And I just hated that term, compulsive overeater. And I totally believe that I'm not like other people. Like, I had a history of going to diet after diet after diet and preaching that diet that I was like, that I was using to other people. And I was, you know, I thought that if I come into this room, so, you know, people are going to show me another diet that might work. But I was not prepared to leave my triggering foods. Are you kidding me? To leave my chocolate, my tiramisu? No, no, no. And, you know, but I wanted to have what those people had in this meeting, though, people who said they're recovered. And everybody was telling me that I have to get a sponsor, listen to these meetings in the morning and get a sponsor and then start working on the steps. And, you know, like, I remember that I didn't reach a bottom when I was, when I went to the meeting. I was not overweight. I was never overweight. But I had uncontrollable binges and then feeling awful after that. And the mental twist that says, well, I can eat this one more chocolate and stop. And so because I read step one in this paragraph, and what step one for me was reading doctor's opinion and understanding the allergy of the body, and you know, and that I cannot with my willpower overcome this condition of mine. And I started to slowly surrender. I love doctor's opinion. I love the explanation that's there that we have an allergy of the body and we'll never be like other people. You know, and I'm very, very grateful that I'm not like other people because I found you guys. If I was like other people, I would have never found this program that is keeping me sane every day. And my step 10, 11, and 12, 10, 11, and 12 that I practice every day so that I can improve and maintain and improve my relationship with my higher power. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Elena C. Mary G., please share with us.
Hi, this is Mary G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. And, you know, this paragraph has just always been a stumbling block for me. It was so, so hard for for me to fully concede that I could not be normal, that I could not find a way to eat what I wanted and still be thin. Of course, I was never thin. You know, this took me a long, long process. I was a chronic relapser for 17 years. And the delusion, you know, that I was going to be normal someday, it was what I thought OA was supposed to teach me. I thought that was why I came into OA. Did I really want to stay in OA the rest of my life? No, I really did not. I thought if I could just learn this, I could leave. And so the idea that I am going to be like my sisters or my family members who are not compulsive overeaters has to be smashed. And that was such a long process for me. What actually turned it around for me was when I became abstinent, I actually was told what foods to put down, which happened to be my alcoholic foods. And I did it because I was so desperate. And all of a sudden, the chatter, the clarity in my mind started to come. And that my sponsor at the time asked me to read these pages, 30 and 31, top of 32, until I could say, yes, yes, I fully concede to my innermost self. I know who I am. And I will forget who I am if I don't work with others and help them to see who they are. Somebody in Vision said that, and I wrote it down on this page. You know, so again, it's just telling me what I've always known, that unless I give this away, you know, I can't keep it. But until I found it, until I really understood what it was that I was to give away, I was only giving them, you know, surface stuff. I wasn't giving them the true message. You know, I wasn't allowing them to have this full experience of recovery. And I'm so grateful today that I found this group, that I truly can say to myself, I know who I am today. I know that I cannot eat the way that other people eat. And it's really okay with me. I accept that. I embrace it, and I am grateful today. And so thank you very much for our service, Team Friday. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary T. Sherry KB, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thanks so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line. Welcome, newcomers, and thank you, Team Friday. You know, I love looking up words because I have my own ideas as a compulsive overeater, what I think things are. And so what I learned to do when I first started doing this work in the big book, I was told get a big book dictionary and start looking these words up that you think you know. And so looking at concede, what really jumped out at me besides admit, it said admit, agree with, accept, acknowledge, to show, although often against one's will. That's what really jumped out at me, that one agrees to or with something. So even though, you know, I didn't want to admit that I was a compulsive overeater, it was kind of against my will, but if I wanted to spend so many more decades like I did trying to convince myself that I could eat like a normal person, you know, I can save you heartache and decades worth of delusion and control and all of that. Please let my experience, you know, speak for itself. And then it talks about delusion here, false psychotic belief. That really jumped out at me. False psychotic belief. Unsound and misleading and reasoning. Because, you know, my disease wants me to convince myself that I don't have a disease. That's what it wants. So I had to let go of the delusion. I had to, like, admit. And the thing is that it, once I really did accept that I was a compulsive overeater, things changed a lot for me. Because I tried for so many years to do it my way, Sherry's way, and you know it has to stop. It has to stop right here, right now. And it says not only presently, but it has to be smashed. I have to concede within myself because nobody's going to convince me. I have to accept it within myself. And if I don't ever accept that I'm a compulsive overeater, I'll never heal. I'll never get recovered if I don't do that. I'm never cured. And that's what we say on this line, recovered. we're never cured, but we can get recovered. And with God's help and using the steps, and I do want to help other people. When I was in my disease, the only thing I wanted to do was diet and, you know, go out the door. Thank you very much. But being a true compulsive overeater, I know that in order for me to stay in recovery, I have to work these steps. And God's got to be in all of this everywhere. And if not, if God's not in everything, every bit and piece of my life, I'm in trouble. I'll be back in the disease. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sherry KB. Jan C., please share with us.
Hi, this is Jan C. in Ohio. if I don't usually share on this line, but if I'm going to share, this is the paragraph I want to share on, because it's this paragraph changed my life. I've always accepted this paragraph in relation to my other addiction, but I can remember the day that I read this paragraph in a big book study, and I can't describe the feeling that I had inside my body. It was like, I get it. This is it. I cannot eat like other people. The thought that I can someday eat XYZ food has to be smashed. And when I did get that feeling deep down in my gut, it was such a freedom. It was such a release. And I had this thought last night, because something came into my mind last night. I had kind of a rough day at work or night at work, and I was feeling kind of down on myself, and I thought about food, and I thought, no, that is not the answer. I can't do that, you know? So the freedom that I get from this paragraph and the release of that addiction that I get from this paragraph is, I can't put it into words. And this is my step one. It's no reservation. I am a compulsive overeater, period. And it's kind of a mantra that I have in my head that I go back to. And I'm really grateful for that, because I truly believe that, you know, God highlighted this paragraph for me. And thank you, everyone, for your service. I'm really grateful the meeting's here. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan C. Let's see. Janice B., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Janice B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you for allowing me to share. And ditto with what everyone else said. That delusion lived with me for a very, very long time. When I came into OA, I was 140 pounds. I was used to being maybe 105 pounds. And I thought I was severely overweight. That was the first indication that something was really, really wrong with my thinking. I have later understood that I was bulimic. And those patterns and those beliefs would lead me to be inside of the program 100 pounds over the 140. So I would go from 140 literally to 250 in my denial and delusion. And I couldn't see it. I just couldn't see it. And mostly I didn't want to let it go. Because for years my eating was about anxiety and depression and people not doing what I wanted them to do, and me pouting in front of the television set and just shoveling food in my mouth. And that's the way I cope with life. That not only had my delusions about food had to be smashed, but my delusions about life had to be smashed as well. The eating for the anxiety and the depression worked for a little while, and then it just didn't work anymore. And I just wasn't safe anywhere. If there was any food in the house that I was addicted to, I could be on the other side of the house, but I would not be able to stop thinking about it. And in my delusional thinking, I thought, well, if I just go and devour this food, then I would get rid of the thought that it's in the house and it's calling my name. but I didn't know about the allergy and I didn't know about those things. I didn't know that once I picked up one, I was compelled to keep on going and going and going. And so somewhere around the 250-pound mark, I had to fully concede that whatever I was doing, it wasn't working. And I had to be open to listen. And I love to live in my head and intellectualize and tell you psychologically why a person is eating and give you all sorts of diagnoses for it. But it did not change my relationship to food. So it wasn't until I fully conceded, worked with a sponsor, became willing, and really began to develop a relationship with a higher power one moment at a time, that things began to change for me. And I'm glad I'm here because that's been working for quite some time. So with that, I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice B. Okay, I'm going to take some more names now, and I want to remind those or tell those who may have come in late that we are reflecting on the second full paragraph on page 30 in the Big Book, which begins, "We learned that we had to fully concede." And we ask that you step back if you've shared in the last 2 days, 3 days, sorry, that is on Wednesday or Thursday. Please wait and give others a chance to share. Who would like to share today?
Sharon W.
Sam W.
Sharon.
I'm sorry, that was Sharon W. Is that what you said?
It was Sharon. Yes,
Sharon. Sharon. I'm sorry, Sharon.
Yes, that's okay.
Janet M. Janet M.
Cynthia C.
Cynthia C.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie M.
Linda P.
Linda P. Anyone else? Okay, let's go with these, and if we have more time when we finish, we'll take more names. Sharon W., please share with us.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Sharon W., gratefully recovered in Southern California. Oh, wow. I was just I'm on this paragraph with a sponsee last night, and then and now, it makes me happy. For 40 years, more than 40 years, I believed that I could eat like everyone else if I really wanted. I attempted to be like my family and my friends and my husband, and of course they all failed. And the truth was really in front of me, but the mental twist kept me from it. I had the allergy of the body that didn't allow me to stop once I started, and the mental twist that caused me to not be able to stop from starting. So for years, I'd have plans to go to dinner with my four best friends, all normal eaters, and so before even leaving the house, I'm feeling resentment. We get to the restaurant, and they want appetizers and drinks, and of course, I want dinner, big dinner, and again, resentments are building. How could they not even care about eating? And all I can think is, what is wrong with them? So, of course, I try to eat like them, and then I go home, and I eat until I go to bed. And, you know, we know that willpower can last, it can last an hour, a day, a week, or maybe a month, but it is never forever. So there were certain truths about my eating that made it really clear. I hid my eating from my husband when he was sleeping or at work. I ate until I was sick, promised myself it was the last time, but sometimes it was only hours before I was back in the food. My poisonous food would sit in the fridge with no interest from anyone in my house, and I literally couldn't sleep knowing that it was in the fridge, and talk about torture. From the very first day I walked into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, I conceded, and there has never been a doubt. I have no delusions, and life is so good. There can be no other answer for why I can't stay away from the food or stop, or because it isn't about my will. And yes, conceding was the easiest thing I'd ever done, I believe, for me. Thank you all so much. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Sharon W. Janet M., please share with us. Janet, press star 1 to unmute.
Thought I had. Janet M. in New York, compulsive overeater and bulimic. You know, strangely, I can remember being 5 and wondering, does everyone think about food all the time? And feeling fat at 7 and dieting at 12 and fighting food all my life. And when I found OA and learned I had a disease, excuse me, I fought being different. I didn't want to be different. I didn't want anyone to know I was in a program. And I was so sick. I was so sick when I came to OA, and OA literally saved my life. And then as my disease progressed, which it did and it does, I learned that I didn't trust God to take the disease. And if I was going to die, I was going to die on my terms, because I knew it was killing me, but I was terrified of the God of my understanding at that time. But I've since found a much gentler, kinder, higher power, and I've been able to finally concede. And I just finally, my sponsor one day, I just was crying, and I said, I can't do this. And she very calmly said, no, you can't. And I thought, oh, you're right. And I really, really felt that letting go at that moment. So I am a compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic, and I hope to be here for the long haul. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Janet M. Cynthia C., please share with us.
Thank you so much, moderator. This is Cynthia C., recovered compulsive overeater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. I completely relate to what everybody else has shared. Again, this also for me is one of my absolute favorite passages, and just really touches my innermost self, because, you know, it doesn't matter what other people thought or said or think about me. It matters with where I'm at internally and my relationship to my higher power. And I couldn't have any of the recovery I have today until I really deeply conceded that I just cannot eat like other people. You know, and honestly, I can't eat like everybody else in program. There are foods that most other people in program can eat that, you know what, my body doesn't tolerate, that my body does not react to. And that's okay. And that is okay. That my food plan and my alcoholic foods are different than yours, you know? And I was so embarrassed to sort of have, you know, when I came back into program and I really conceded what I couldn't eat and what I needed to do. You know, we before COVID, we were eating at lots of people's homes. We had lots of people here. And I was so afraid of how this was going to be. And you know what? It's all okay. Because when I let go and I let my higher power take control, it was all okay. And that truly is the first step, that I cannot eat like other people. And this delusion that I can eat like other people has to be smashed. I wrote a lot about that in my first couple of years of recovery, of really allowing to let that delusion go. And I was doing a meditation this morning at the meditation app, and it was all about letting go of fantasies. About fantasies and distractions. And I thought for years how I lived in fantasies that I could have these gorgeous, you know, someone was going to, I never really admitted it. Like, we live in this incredibly affluent community, and we just don't have the amount of affluence that people have. We don't have that kind of money at all. And we drive through these houses that are millions of dollars. And I just kept fantasizing when I was in the food that someone was going to gift me one of those houses. You know, they're going to give me things. The people are just going to give me things. And that was like this fantasy world that I lived in when I was in the food. And I was very aware that when I let go of that delusion, when I smashed them, that when my higher power smashed that delusion, that I don't have those fantasies anymore, that someone's going to gift me with, you know, a $5 million house. And that I've come to accept that in our 2-bedroom townhouse that we live in, that we're really okay, that my higher power is meeting my needs and my children's needs and my husband's needs. And I don't need to live in the sugar and the flour and the pastry. I don't need to live there. I don't need to have my alcoholic foods hidden all throughout my house. I don't need to eat to get through my day, that I can sit and I can feel the sadness that I feel about things that are going on in the world, and I can do fear inventories and 10-step turnarounds, and I get to live in today. I get to live in today, and that is the biggest gift I believe I've gotten from program, is letting go of the food and being present in today with the amazing support that I have. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Anne-Marie M., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, Kathy. It's Anne-Marie M. Good to hear you, and compulsive overeater. Yeah, I had to fully concede, and I did several times. I listened to part of the meeting this morning and heard someone share about how often she would go back, that, you know, she couldn't remember. And just because I conceded doesn't mean it's a done deal. I've proven that to myself, that there has to be work, lots of work. This is the first step, you know. It says it right here, the first step in recovery, to fully concede. And I could so identify with so many people this morning speaking, and especially with that woman this morning who was talking about getting 1 year and then going back out and having 2 years. And, you know, for me, I know we're just talking about step one right here, yet for me, I have to remember that it's my contact with God that I have to maintain in all parts of my life. I was told this morning that I sound squirrely. Yes, I was squirrely. It's a motor mouth. And I realized, you know, where's my contact with God? I did spend time with God this morning. I can't just, you know, make that special time with God and then shut the door and then go on with my life. I need to keep that door open between me and God throughout the day. And so conceding to my innermost self, it's not a done deal. Yeah, I know that I am a compulsive overeater. I know there are foods that I am allergic to that I cannot pick up without causing an allergic reaction. And the allergic reaction is a craving beyond my control. The problem is that I don't remember that. And so I need to continue doing the work. And, you know, I've done so much work over these years. I've done anything my sponsor would tell me to do, I would do. The whole thing is, that's fine. But if I'm not staying connected to God, it's not going to work. So I just wanted to, I needed to talk. So I appreciate you listening. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Anne-Marie. Okay, Linda P., you'll be our last share. And could you please keep your share to 2 minutes? Thank you, Linda.
Hi, this is Linda P., a recovered compulsive overeater from New York, but temporarily living in Nebraska. Well, thank you, and I will keep this short. And cut me off if I don't, please. That's thank you for all the shares and the fact that we only read this short paragraph. It really makes it all the more, you know, poignant to me. Anyways, I feel that I thought I had conceded to my innermost self, and I had not. Or maybe I conceded as much as I could at that point with what I knew. And eventually, there were years of abstinence. And eventually, I picked up wasn't picking up exactly, but it was. I, you know, ate a protein later because I thought I didn't have enough to dinner. I was in a foreign country, and I was having a lot of feelings about a particular thing. And eventually that led me back out, and I had so many relapses after that. Sometimes I would go, I don't know, I would be abstinent for a year, a day, a month, and you know, I thought I conceded again with another program because it was very, very strict and it kind of kept me abstinent. And then I started to mess around with sugar-free cough drops and things like that. By the time I got to Visions, it's been many, many years in program, and I was just ready. I don't even know what it was. I just didn't want another relapse, and I just knew those relapses were killing me and that they made me so feel so bad about myself. And there was some kind of surrender. There was this little open door that if I walked through, you know, maybe
That's
I could do
fine.
It differently. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Linda P. And thank you, everyone who was here today, either sharing or listening. What a great meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Lois P., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you, Kathy. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.